We always love life-change stories and how Jesus uses it to peel another layer of healing for ourselves in Principle 8, where we become willing to share the good news through our words and our actions. But every time we share, it brings another layer of healing. But what I love is the ripple effect in how our story can impact others. And I'm excited today that we get to hear from another satisfied customer, a brother in Christ that has walked this journey and is continuing to walk this journey in Celebrate Recovery. We get to hear a little bit of hope through a testimony, a life change, a story in Jesus Christ. Welcome to Hope in Recovery. This is a Fellowship Celebrate Recovery podcast that shares hope and healing for our mental, spiritual, emotional, and relational journey through life change stories and recovery topics, all centered around the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus, through his own lips, gives us hope to face our hurt, our hang-ups, and our habits, and even our relational struggles as we walk through the Celebrate Recovery principles and really, one by one, surrender those to Christ so that we can walk in the fullness of life and find purpose in our pain, a calling, even as he's finding freedom. Find a calling that helps us to move forward with courage and strength the way Christ intended. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with drugs and alcohol and perfectionism. My name is Rodney. I'm the pastor and ministry leader here at Fellowship Rogers Celebrate Recovery. And hey, welcome. So glad to have you back today. I just want to keep sounding this gong. Just if you haven't done it yet, I know it takes a couple minutes and we appreciate that sacrifice. But if you haven't written a review and given us a 5-star rating, if you like what you're hearing, we'd love to hear from you. And so thanks for helping us with that. And thanks for those that have already done that to help us get the word and get more exposure out there. But excited to have my brother Cannon here today. He's going to be sharing, just having a conversation with us on what Celebrate Recovery has meant to him. So Cannon, welcome, man.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So introduce yourself the way you do in CR, man, and we'll jump in.
I'm a great believer in Jesus Christ. I have victory over codependency, but I still struggle with pornography and anxiety and depression. My name's Cannon.
Hey, Cannon. Well, welcome, man. So Cannon, you've been in CR how long now?
A little over 7 years.
7 years. Okay. Wow. So man, give us a snapshot. Take us back to... Now, what was growing up years like for Cannon? What was that like, man?
So growing up, I definitely grew up in a Christian home where we basically lived at the church. Parents were very involved in the music ministry. Mom always in the choir. Dad played the trumpet, narration, acting. My dad's a big actor. He also did Sunday school, led Sunday school. Mom helped with the kids' choir. So basically just raised up in the church. Just did everything in the church. We were baseball umpires for a long time.
Wow.
My dad did it for a little over 40 years, and we umpired in that region for a long time. And we were known as the umpires around that region, and just the music guys. And yeah, that's what we were involved in a lot. And music was our huge inspiration. Our family still is.
Yeah. So you're a great vocalist, musician, play the guitar. What all do you do, man?
So I play mainly piano.
Okay.
Guitar is not really my forte. Okay. I still need to learn more.
I thought
more.
You played guitar.
No, it's okay. No, my dad and I are actually planning on taking it up and learning more. I can play bass guitar pretty well.
Okay.
That's pretty easy for me.
Okay.
Drums, no. I can't put my beaten hands together very well. I'm not very rhythmically inclined.
You're miles ahead of me, man. Well, so music was a passion. You know, and it's always interesting when we're talking about our story. It's not where we bash our family, but it's really just trying to understand and be honest about our family dynamics. What was home life in your family of origin, man?
Oh, my dad was working. He worked a lot. And he's a typical father. He, you know, provided for our family. He worked, almost 100 hours a week. I mean, he would work.
Wow.
Yeah, he would go into work early, and then he would go umpire baseball until about 11 o'clock at night, and he'd come home, pass out, and or go to sleep, and then do it all over again the next day, and you do it every week. sometimes, you know, he'd Saturdays, he would work umpire baseball throughout the day. And so, yeah, typical dad, he'd take care of our family. And I'm very grateful that he did. Mom stayed home a lot, you know, she helped us out through our life. And when we come home and she would be there. So that's good to have. We had a really good, strong family connection, family ties. My brother and I really, we had our moments of a good relationship, but also brothers that kind of butted heads a lot. So we didn't really have a good, strong relationship. Hmm. We still don't have a good, strong relationship. And that's another challenge that I'm hoping God will, that I have hope that God will reconcile that in the future.
What's the age difference there?
So it's 2 years. He's 2 years older than me.
Okay. Yeah, that's tough.
But I do have two half brothers that became more in my life the last few years. And I'm very thankful for that.
Okay.
My dad's was married before my mom, so we had two half brothers, but really wasn't in our lives growing up. But at the same time, you know, like I said, we lived in the church, but we also, you know, we had our family issues as everybody else had, financial issues, you know, kind of just weighed our family down a little bit. But that's a struggle that I think a lot of people go through, and we just had to, as a family, get over that hump in our life.
I feel like we went
to the beach a lot. We camped a lot. I mean, we were like known as the camp family. Like we would actually like cut out carpet and put in our tent. We were like amazing when it came to camping. We knew how to do it. And we put a big old tarp on top.
Pros.
Oh yeah. Pros. My dad was definitely an engineer, as you would call it. But, he would just lay out a huge tarp over our whole tent section, our tent area. And I remember one week it was over at Horseshoe Bend, and it was like a tornado that went through the whole area. It didn't like touch the ground, but our campsite was the only one left standing, tent and everything. And I was like, what? It's like, well, we just had everything roped off, and it was just, but we were just known as, you know, we go camping a lot, fishing a lot. And,
wow.
And so we were a very tight knit family growing up and did a lot of things together. And
when did you, sounds like you love your family a lot.
Of course.
Yeah. I love that. So when did you, come to know Jesus? When did you receive Christ?
I came to know Jesus in May of 2000. Was I 13? So I'm
okay.
20. May I was 13. So okay. I'm 35. So that's 22 years ago. So 2002.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So grew up in church, a part of church.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Faith was important.
Exactly. I actually surrendered to the ministry when I was in college. So I got licensed to, as a minister in early college with actually my best friend. So we were pretty excited that we got to do that together.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and it's good to, you know, sometimes we think, well, if you're in recovery, that means, you know, your home was total chaos and you didn't know Christ and you weren't a believer. But it just goes to show that we live in a broken world, and it can... the need for recovery can sneak up on any of us, right? In fact, we all need recovery if we want to get real honest. But things can blow up, kind of disorientation in our life, and it can kind of catch us off guard, can it?
Let me tell you about when I was 3 years old. Actually, that's when I kind of like, we've had a lot of health problems in our family, a lot. I mean, you could probably name a hospital wing after our whole family. We've just been in and out of the hospital. Like when I was three, I almost died of a major blood disorder. And that's why I have Jehovah Rapha on my arm, tatted on my arm, just means God who heals. Because it's just like a theme in our family. We just need God to heal our family.
And you say it was a blood disorder?
Blood disorder.
Oh, wow.
It's a major blood disorder. Okay. And I was in the hospital for a very long time. And the doctors pretty much didn't give me any chance, a hope or whatever. But, you know, God is bigger than all that. And
yeah.
After about 2 weeks, they brought me home. And it's just like, well, let's go home, you know, more comfortable. And about a week later, our pastor came, prayed over our family and our house. And
so, can I jump in there? What was the the prognosis was not good?
No, sir.
Okay, so they weren't expecting you to live, or okay, wow.
Yeah, it was a major blood disorder, and just
so just go home to get comfortable.
Yes, sir.
Okay, wow. So, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. That's a pretty big
deal. Yeah, it was a big thing in our life, and it was definitely, hey, is he going to live, or is he going to, you know, be with the Lord? But God had bigger plans, obviously. And a pastor came and he prayed over our family, and a few days later, I got up. I like laid in bed. I was like on the couch I couldn't really move very well. I was very weak. A few days later, I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. And I got up And just a few days later after that, I was feeling a lot better. And it's just like God healed my body. It was just crazy how God works. And then
you were how old? Three?
I was three, yes, sir. And then when I was 14, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And that was a huge impact in our family because my mom, my grandfather, my mom's dad passed away when my mom was eight with Crohn's disease in 1968. So that was a big thing for not only for my family, but for my mom. I mean, she never left my bedside when I got diagnosed because she was just struggling with it again, with that issue. And so I had to go, we went to Little Rock a lot to the Children's Hospital down there, back and forth. And I had to do medication and by the grace of God, well, I would say by the grace of God, yes, it's always merciful and God is always healing me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've had it since I've been 14, so I've been struggling with it. But then in 2010, I had a little minor setback in college, and doctors like, well, we're going to have to cut some of your intestines out. And so they took about 7 inches out, and that's another hope for that I can give people is that God heals.
Yeah.
Crohn's is a lifelong disease, but I know that God can heal. And so I've been in remission since 2010, since I had my surgery. The doctor was like, I'll see you back in 5 years. That's normal for a patient. I was like, I can beat those odds. And I haven't seen the doctor, and I go to my tick pool doctor for patients. But anyway, I haven't had any problems since 2010. I'm just very thankful.
So what is that? Yeah. Praise God for that. Miracles. Had to take a pretty big emotional toll on you.
Oh yeah, definitely. It started right beginning of high school. I had to take prednisone, very, very large amount of prednisone. And so my face swelled up. So starting high school, they're very self-conscious about my image at the time. And
being teased?
Oh, no, not really.
No.
No. My brother didn't really help, unfortunately, but it was kind of he didn't really have my back and my support. And I thought my older brother as a senior would get me through that process.
It's hurtful.
Yeah, sir. But I had good friends, and I knew who my friends were at the time, and I've had friends, and they're stuck by my side since. But it was a struggle going to high school and dealing with my image and having that face swell up and having that health problem. It definitely weighed a toll on me, just feeling alone and uncomfortable. But at the same time, I knew my friends were, and I knew I can get through it. But that's kind of like where my struggle started, was through that whole process of just trying to find myself and then having to go through all those health issues and health medication. And it was a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot. I can't imagine what that was like. So you're struggling with your identity, your appearance a little bit. Yes, so your faith is being tested a little bit. Yeah, or a lot.
Yes.
So, as typical that we see, is this where you kind of began that search for something to bring comfort? Is this kind of when pornography entered? Or tell me how that kind of progressed.
Oh, that progressed. We got a computer in the house, and being all males and dominated in the household, your curiosity comes and goes. And I was looking for some kind of filler, kind of void in my life. Mm-hmm. I should have looked for God more. I should have filled it with more biblical things, spiritual things, and reading the Bible, praying more, meditating more. But I was curious. And just wanted to fill the void in my life, and that's where the computer came into play, and that's where pornography started in my life was about that time. And it just progressed throughout my life, and when I got to college, it got more progressive, especially because I was basically by myself and went to a college down south, and so that was a struggle for me because I was alone for the first time. I didn't have my family. I didn't have a roommate, so by being by myself, that was a huge struggle, and definitely didn't fill it with biblical and spiritual things like I should have.
Yeah. So, are you able to kind of conceal it from people? I mean, what is it? A lot of times we're hidden in our addiction for a season until it finally is revealed. What does that look like for you, man?
I hid it for a long time. I knew my family probably knew, my parents probably knew I was looking at some kind of pornography issue in my life and talking to girls. And but it started progressing more, that it finally came out. Well, not really came out. I became on staff at a church, down south, mm-hmm. and was just a intern, music intern. And I had actually, and I talk about this at CR a lot, is that, you know, I had it's a typical joke that goes around. It's like, hey, you know, you drown and all these boats come around and say, you need help. Yeah. And you finally drown and you're like asking God, it's like, God, why don't you help me? Well, I send you three boats. I mean, it's like, yeah. But like there was a drummer at my church, mm-hmm. and he was actually a therapist, a spiritual counselor. Mm. And I was like thinking, I was like, I need to go talk to him because I'm struggling with this in my life, but I'm also on my own staff. So how do I approach this?
It's a tough
predicament. Like, how do I approach this? And I got married when I was 21, so very young. So how do I approach telling the church that I have this issue? How do I tell my wife, my ex-wife now? How do I tell my wife at the time, though I have the struggle? I don't really want to, you know, I don't want to show it, and I don't want to show weakness as a person that's trying to get into the ministry. And it was a struggle just to even open up to anybody. And of course, darkness comes to light. That's what God does. Mm. And over time, darkness came to light. Mm. And we'll get more into that down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. So, kind of take us through that. I want to take a super fast break here. But when we turn the corner, when did that reveal itself to where that point where it's time to do something different? When we come back, we'll continue that conversation. Talking with Cannon and just his struggles in life, specifically with pornography and ultimately toward life change. So stick with us. We'll be right back and continue the conversation. Hey, friends, if you're looking for a meeting, please don't try to face this journey alone. We have a great and safe place for you on both campuses of Fellowship Fayetteville, Fellowship Rogers, Celebrate Recoveries. Hope to one day have one in Bentonville, but it's the same schedule, 6 p.m. Connection Cafe meal. Our meeting starts at 7. All you got to do is show up. We've got some great volunteers that will be waiting on you, and we'll walk you through the process. If you'd like more information to join us on this journey, go to fellowshipcr.org for more information, and we'll walk you on this journey. Welcome back, Cannon. Right before we went to the break, kind of that breaking point is kind of where we were headed. Nobody knew, you know, and I just hear the shame in that, man, if anybody knows and finds out what I'm struggling with, what are they going to think? And so it just felt like just keep shoving it down, keep concealing it, mm-hmm. kind of a thing.
Yes. So throughout college, I wanted to be a teacher and an educator. And I've always wanted to be a teacher when I was, like, since fifth grade, when I started my first choir, like, campaign or whatever, choir career. Mm-hmm. We had a really good choir, and choir was, like, part of my life. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to be choir director, choir teacher, whatever that, you know, entails. So I got my education from college, and I became a teacher, and also was still on staff at the same school, the same church. Still struggling, still holding it down, still trying to you know, hide my pornography addictions, my codependency behaviors. I wanted to keep hiding it, so I just kept going, moving forward. And then after about a few years, after I got I graduated from college, still hiding my past and my struggles and my habits, my hurts, my hangups. I got a new teaching job after about 3 years. We moved to northeastern part of the state, and still hiding, and I just felt like there was a big hole in my heart still. We were moving away from my family. Throughout my journey, my marriage, my family was non-existent, unfortunately. I pushed them away. Mm-hmm. So just like I pushed my habits down and down and down, mm-hmm. I pushed my family away because I just felt so much shame and regret and hurt that I know I'm going to cause people. I know I've already hurt my family from pushing them away so much, and I'm just deeply regret doing that to my family. We're such a tight-knit family. I know my parents were just struggling through all that. So after a few years, I just felt a hole in my heart, and my relationship, my marriage wasn't the greatest. Communication-wise, wasn't the greatest. So I sought out talking to somebody else, and an underage person, and unfortunately, I got found it out, and that's when dark came to light. Mm-hmm. God said I had enough. I mean, yeah. God just told me I had enough. And unfortunately, the end result to that was not the greatest I wanted to have in my life. God opened my eyes real quick what pain and addiction can do.
Yeah.
And so I got arrested in 2016 and definitely opened my eyes real quick when you get to sit in a jail cell for a few days and just contemplate your life and just can't yelling imagine. Out to, I need a phone call, I need a phone call, I need a phone call. And just like no one came. And so I just talked to God and I said, God, I should have came to you a long time ago. I know you gave me so many boats in my life that came around, and unfortunately I just didn't use it. And but I'm here now. And I need you more than anything. I need you to be over my family, my daughter. My daughter, she's 9 now. She's going to be 9 in July. But we had a daughter throughout that marriage, which I'm very thankful and blessed for.
Yeah.
She's a wonderful person.
So is that the point when you talked about being divorced? Is that when your wife?
She gave me divorce papers Monday after. So okay. I got arrested on Friday. It was like 3 days later, I'm done.
That's a bad weekend.
So it was definitely everything just went downhill that day or that weekend, and lost my job, lost my family, essentially, you know, my daughter and my wife at the time. And I mean, addiction is addiction. It was addiction. And it was when every night we talk about, you know, how addiction can be overpowering, like over your family, over everything in your life. And that's where I was in my life.
Yeah.
Addiction was over everything in my life. That was my idol.
Yeah.
And
well, we talked about this on prior podcasts, but just the costs, the consequences of addictions, unaddressed addictions. But I think it's just good to just make a note of that the progression starts. I'm looking at the computer, and that's kind of how addictions work. I wonder if you could speak into that just from your experiences. You even connect with other guys now in 7 years, but how we start here and eventually that becomes not enough and we keep up in the ante. It's like, okay. Mm-hmm. And it really starts to, we get take more risks, and eventually to get that same level of a high, technically, right? That's really what's happening in our brain. We keep upping the ante, and then we're in neighborhoods. It's like, how did I end up here? I'm sure that's where you're sitting in that jail cell going, what just happened? Right. How did I get here?
Yeah, it's definitely, addiction can be any types of addiction. It could be drugs, alcohol, definitely pornography is a huge addiction.
Yeah.
And anything can really be an addiction. You just keep adding and adding and adding layers and layers upon layers, and you just want to get it high. And yeah, I definitely started with pornography, and then it started talking, you know, came the form of communication. And I'm just thankful that God basically got me out of that situation, because I feel like it could have just kept progressing into something more worse, which it didn't. I'm very thankful that nothing got physical.
Right.
But I feel like if God didn't intervene, I think it would have gotten worse. Addiction would have just kept growing.
Scary.
And God said, I had enough. And so a whole year passed, and I didn't see my daughter take any of her first steps. She was born in 2015.
Yeah.
And so
were you in jail? Did you end up doing time just to close that out?
Yes, I did a few days, got bonded out, and then got 3 years probation.
Okay.
And it took a couple of years to get through all this stuff.
So your wife's gone. She's taken your daughter with her, and now you're just trying to deal with the wreckage.
Right. So I'm trying not to cry here, but
good, man.
When I was in jail, I got transferred to see the judge on Monday morning. And mind you, I told you about how I pushed my family away, my parents, for years.
Mm-hmm.
I probably seen my parents twice in my marriage. And I got married in 2010, same time in my surgery.
Yeah.
That was another thing. Right. I got married and got surgery. Woohoo.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were married 6 years up to that point, and probably only seen my parents about twice.
Mm.
And I was transferring, and the police officer said, your parents are going to be there. They're waiting on you.
Wow.
And I just lost it. I was like, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve them to even be there. I don't know what I'm going to do when I see their faces. And I just, when I look at it back now, it's like the prodigal son.
Yeah, that's
home.
Exactly what was just coming to mind.
And I'm just like, my parents love me so unconditionally, and I'm just so thankful for a a family who loves me unconditionally and just seeks God every day. And I moved back home, came back home, and it was a struggle, definitely like an awkward situation.
For sure.
And my parents are angry at the whole ordeal. They're angry at me for why they pushed me away for something. It was just an awkward situation. Yeah. And by the grace of God, God got me through that. But it was also a struggle. I didn't get to see my daughter, didn't get to talk to her or see her for a year. And I just missed on her first words, and her addiction.
Yeah.
Definitely killed that.
High cost there.
Definitely a high cost. And I didn't think of the consequences at the time. But by the grace of God, I found Celebrate Recovery. That's another story.
Was that about a year after?
Yes, sir. Okay. About a year, a little after a year.
Okay. So you hear about Celebrate Recovery, man. This is always a fun part for me, kind of getting in the door. You reach out. How do you get here? Do you talk to someone first? Or you just show up, or what happened?
So funny story. Well, it's not really a funny story. It's God moments. And I feel like they're all God moments. Like my mentor that was on staff with, he went to school with my mom. He sang together with my mom.
Oh, wow.
And then when I got here, I met David Atterbury. He was a staff here before Michael. And I told my mom about it, and my parents, and my mom was like, David Atterbury. I went to school with him too. We all sang together. I was like, are you serious? So I was just like, you know, this is all God.
Yeah.
And so I actually came with a friend, recommended me come, and I was like, okay, I'll come. And then worship was just so incredible. Like, I've just heard people just cheering and hollering. And it was like, it was a Friday night. People actually want to come here and do things. It's like they are skipping out on other things, but they want to come and cheer and just be in God's presence. And I was just, wow. I was just dumbfounded by all the experiences. I was like, I never experienced, even on staff as a worship leader, I never really experienced that. And this is like, wow. And then they started talking about, you know, recovery and the different steps. And then I heard the serenity prayer, and it said, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And I was just like, that was like, wow. You know, I can't change the fact that I got arrested. I can't change the fact that I have to live in a bubble for a long time, basically. And I can't change the fact that, you know, my daughter's not my life. I can't change the fact that people think of me differently now.
Yeah.
I can't change it. You know, I've come to realization after a few years being a CR that really meant a lot to me. So every day I wake up in the morning, it's like, God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change today, or just get me through this day. And I can't change the fact that something might happen that I didn't expect.
So you kind of jumped into that process, got into small group, and kind of started rolling your sleeves up, kind of unpacking the baggage, so to speak.
I went through my first step study 2018. Or 2019 is when I first, right before COVID.
Yeah.
It was my first step study. And I was just really just had to enter, I had to do my inventory, and I was just like, what am I going to say through all this? Like, how do I pack this stuff out? And where does this begin?
Yeah.
And this really, when I found it out, you know, I really began when I first got diagnosed with Crohn's, and my image was just shot, and self-conscious was ruined. And that's where it really all began. And I just sat down just with my sponsor and my accountability partners and just really hashed it out. And that's where I come to realization. That's where it all started and how it progressed and where I am now. It's just a whole different experience, a whole different canon than it was in the past.
So lots of work, lots of miracles in that, lots of hard work. It's not easy, is it?
It takes
a lot of work, but it's worth it. So, man, coming out on the other side of that, what are you seeing God do to find purpose in that immense pain?
I still struggle trying to find my purpose in my life, because it's like, God, where do you want me?
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants me to have a felon person around doing things or whatever. And it's just like, God, where do you want me?
Yeah.
And so I completed my second step study and got through that, and just have a numerous amount of people in my life. And it's like, I go back and look and count of how many friends I have now than I had in the past. And there's more than there is now than there was in the past. And my family's back in my life. And my aunt's family took a few years to come around because they have a lot of kids. So I was like, ooh, okay, kind of step back. But God, by the grace of God, that was an answer to prayer.
Yeah.
But I helped with Returning Home Ministries for a while.
Yeah.
The halfway house there. And man, that really touched my heart, because I could see these guys that were in my same shoes trying to just get back out in the community, and they are just struggling with their identity and their image and where they want to go next. And I just said, hey guys, this is where I'm at in my life.
Yeah.
You know, there's tremendous amount of people support that's going to be here for you. That's not going to judge you. I'm one of them. So if you need help, call me anytime, text me anytime, whatever you need, I'm here for you.
Yeah. There's nothing more powerful than somebody that's walked through hell.
Yeah, pretty much.
No other way to say it. And looking someone who's in it and giving them hope, giving them a lifeline. And I appreciate you doing that. And I just want to say, man, you know, with your story, I just want to commend you for your posture of coming into this space and honoring our processes, our security, and our safety protocols. You did that with such humility, knowing we have to protect the, you know, and shepherd the flock. And you accepted everything along the way, and you continue to do that. And I just want to just publicly say thank you for that. Well, that takes a lot of courage.
I know there's rules and regulations in place for a reason. I understand. Yeah.
And you've done it well, man. So I love, now you're getting back into singing in the choir.
Yeah. So that was a process. So let me tell you about that. So when I was on staff and, you know, holding a mic and doing all that stuff, I just felt at the time, I'm just doing the motions, going through the motions, just doing it for myself and trying to seek affirmation. So it took a few years. So I just wanted to work on myself. And I know there was a process. And after about 5 years, I felt God ready to say, hey, let's try to get back in this. Cause I know my heart was definitely changed, man. Mm. Now my heart is definitely different than it was in the past.
Right.
So I'm taking baby steps, and you know, I tell Michael, I say, hey, give me a little baby steps. Give me some time to get back into it. Cause it was hard to get back up there, especially when I gave my life story on stage by myself up there in the spotlight again. I was like, God, this is all you this time. This is not me. Just let it work. And I'll just be a vessel for you. And when I saw those people come up and just get into the altar and kneel, I was like, I don't know how people are going to react to my story. Mm. I was going to get people, they're judging me or they're not. And, but there was so many men that came up to me just crying. I needed that story. And I'm just so thankful that God could use me as a vessel in that story. Mm. And now I'm helping with the choir and I love it. And it's definitely a different experience. I get to see people down there just... Some people that's crazier than me that get out there cheering and hollering, but hey, that's Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah.
I mean, they're celebrating their journey, and I'm just so thankful that God allows me to be a part of that process.
Yeah.
He got me away from all that in my life, and I'm out here and just trying to help other people in their and their life journey. And
well, and what's good about it is it's a good reminder too that, I mean, you keep coming back, right? And of course you're growing in God's renewed and is renewing. He's transformed and is transforming. So you keep coming back. You're working your recovery, and not just for yourself, but the hope that you're giving to others is pretty incredible, man. So
appreciate that,
man. What somebody's listening right now? Hopefully, somebody shared this and somebody caught this. They have no idea what Celebrate Recovery is, but maybe they are part of Celebrate Recovery though, and they've just been kind of doing what you were doing, shoving it down. If anybody found this out, it'd be the end of me kind of thing. What do you say? You've got their ear right now and they're listening. They're hurting. They feel scared. They feel lonely. And you have an opportunity to speak some encouragement and hope into them. What do you say to that person that's still in hiding or maybe walking with some shame?
I just said, let it go, because God is a lot bigger than all of this. And I come to realize that when I was sitting in a jail cell, you gotta let somebody know and about your hurts, because if I would have caught it way back before everything happened and just let somebody know about it, I wouldn't be in the situation I probably am now, because I would have healed it a long time ago and got help and sought help and try to get it out there. Y'all just get it out there, because it's a lot better to get it out. And because addictions can start layering and layering, like we talked about, it can get worse. And then you get depressed and you get anxious, and then you just start feeling like there's no end to this. Like, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, you know? So just let it go. Cause God, is bigger than all this, and He is a forgiving God. Mm. And you have people out there who will love you unconditionally. Celebrate Recovery is a, what I call it, as a unconditional love area.
Yeah.
And that's what Celebrate Recovery is you have people there just to love you unconditionally. Doesn't judge you. Doesn't want to, you know, wants you to be successful in your life. It wants you to be, wants you to recover and just get over the, you know, just get through that struggle. And, and it's going to be a long process. And
Well, that's the gospel, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Like Jesus, that's Jesus's desire. And I love that He uses this ministry to bring that hope to others. But man, thanks for your courage to be here today. It takes a lot of courage to share our story. And I appreciate you just knowing the guy you are. And some people don't know who you are. I have the privilege of knowing who you are and the kind of guy you are. And just the character that you walk in today, Jesus is using, he's using you. And I know you're still trying to kind of figure out what's my purpose here, but ultimately just seeing how you're bringing glory and honor to God, you're fulfilling that purpose from a high level, and your calling is being carried out. And I just want you to hear that. And thanks for being you, man.
Thanks, Ronnie. Appreciate it, guys. Yeah,
glad you're here, man. And I hope this is encouragement for you guys. It does take a lot of courage to share our life change story. And I love that it doesn't matter what we struggle with. This is a place for you. All hurts, all hangups, all habits, and all relational struggles, that this is a place for you. So I don't know, if you're in a place where you've just been hiding, maybe you've created some barriers between you and God and others, and trying to stay in this place of protection and hiding and denial, maybe today is the day that you let down the guard and you jump into this space where you can experience life to the fullest, recovery in a new way, to walk in a new purpose as God intended for you to experience. And so much so that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to do that for you. Go to fellowshipcr.org if you have any more questions. Hey, thanks for being with me today. I pray that you'll join me next time. God bless.